Welcome to Questions About Heaven, a podcast about giving Bible answers to our questions about the afterlife with God. Each week, we seek to answer real-life questions with biblical answers about the life beyond this world. Now, here's your host, Brad Zockel.
Well, good day to you. This is Brad Zockel, and you are listening to the Questions About Heaven podcast, the Revelation edition. And that means that we are studying the book of Revelation, and we are now entering into Revelation chapter 20, which many people would call the Millennial Kingdom chapter. We're going to take this very carefully. As you know, since we started this study, we've gone verse by verse through from Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, 1, verse 2, and on. And so I want to walk through the first three verses here very, very carefully as we enter in to such an important chapter, as they all are. Let me give you a couple of announcements here. Boy, I'm really glad that you joined me here. This is a very, very kind thing for you to do, to trust me and entrust me with your the teaching of this. And I want you to be as the Berean Christians, Acts chapter 17, to study the scriptures to see whether these things are so. By no means take my word as the final source. Go to the scriptures, study these things. I want you to be just wonderful learners of the word. Let me give you a couple of announcements and we'll get going here so you get your notebooks out. And as I have encouraged you to go down to one of the local stationery stores or maybe one of the local Walmarts and then go and get yourself an empty journal and make your own Bible Encyclopedia of Heaven. We'll have a number of different places we'll go, and if I can remember, I will tell you where you can put the different notes on here. You can start off by saying either R for Revelation or M for Millennial Kingdom. Now, I'm going to be taking a few weeks here and catching up and trying to spend some time here during the Resurrection Week break. I've just been taking time and relaxing, just enjoying the Word, reading through the Scripture, and having personal time. And indeed, the family is in town. And I just told them I just need some peace and quiet here. And it is very, very nice here in the barn. Oh, I'm going to say it's probably not quite 70 degrees, but just a wonderful, wonderful time in the weather. And the barn cats are running around here. Now they're peaceful in this afternoon here. And as I'm sitting down here, I just want to thank you once again for your care and for your giving, for your encouragement, and for your prayers. I came back from a trip. And we have been storing the miles on the Honda CR-V. I came back, and we are now over 243,000 miles on our Honda. And the board has said, Brad, it's time for you to get another vehicle. Not saying a new one, but one with lower mileage. And so we're praying for that. It seems, if I can remember right, I don't have it in front of me, that we're going through partners in our ministry, Acorn Global Outreach, and they've actually taken the car fund, and taken that as their project here and receiving money from different people. If you'd like to give toward that, they are just wonderful, wonderful people. And you would go to Acorn Global, A-C-O-R-N, acornglobal.org. And if I can remember right, I believe that we have just cleared $5,000 in raising for a good used car for me. And I want to thank you for that. We do have matching funds, and so I believe this means that we're around $8,000 right now so far. I'll let you know more about those details. I don't have those in front of me, but I know that we've raised just about $5,000 in that fund, and I just want to thank you so very, very much. It is very much needed. The car came back, and we're having some trouble with it. It is, for the first time, giving us a bit of grief, and so I'm going to take it into the mechanics this week. Looking at the calendar when I get back on the road, Miss Christy is one of our tour guides for the Heaven Tour, and that just means she's an organizer for me coming back down to Mississippi and Alabama, right on the western side of Alabama, and that state line just a few miles from there, and that would be on the eastern side of Mississippi. I will be speaking on April 7th in the morning at Mount Methodist Church in Tremont, T-R-E-M-O-N-T. Tremont, Mississippi, in the morning service, and then going across the state line, heading just a smidgen west, and I will be speaking in Hamilton, Alabama, And the venue is going to be announced in a little bit later on. The last time the venue was at a local restaurant, and a number of the believers all organized that, and I was in there with a Q&A and a time to talk with them. The following week is the first time we've done this. Our ministry is going to test on something, prayerfully testing. We are actually renting out a venue, and we are renting out the Holiday Inn Express meeting room, business meeting room. The Holiday Inn Express business meeting room in Mount Airy, North Carolina. We're going to have two services, 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Holiday Inn Express. Brother Dennis is helping me arrange this, and I just really, really appreciate his help in this. And if you will write me an RSVP so we can get an idea of how much food we're going to bring in, donuts and coffee in the morning, stuff like that. If you'll write me, then RSVP. We've had some people do that. And then we are going to have a nice Heaven Tour gift for you. And so if you will let me know, write me at brad@theheaventour.com. brad@theheaventour.com. Looking forward to that. That's on April 14th, Sunday, April 14th. Sunday, April 7th, I'm in Tremont, Mississippi. We are looking at Revelation chapter 20. And we have been seeing the magnificence of what the Lord has brought in Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who would not have any rebellion take him over, defeat him, try to dissuade him from the wonderful, wonderful truths of the ultimate in heaven, not only heaven, but the new earth. What a wonderful, wonderful passage we have been looking at as we've been studying the victories that the Lord has brought about in there, in the ultimate victory in the Valley of Jezreel, the Plain of Esdraelon, and in the previous chapter, in chapter 19, was the defeat of those rebellious armies. And now we have the incarceration of the demonic realm, including the dragon himself. That takes us into Revelation chapter 20. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to read Revelation chapter 20 and here, and then I will read the pertinent verses we're going to have during this study today. Revelation chapter 20, as you know, I rotate the different translations that we have, and I'm going to go to the ESV in reading this. ESV this time on this particular translation. Verse 1 of Revelation chapter 20. John is talking. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding in his hand the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain. And he seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, and threw him into the pit, and shut it, and sealed it over him, so that he might not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be released for a little while. That's verses 1 through 3, when we're talking about the Revelation 20 passage about the millennial kingdom to come. This opens up the door to tell us Christ has come to earth, Revelation chapter 19, after his victory, and then he is, could you say, house cleaning? I guess that's a good way to put it. When we take a look at this, we see an angel coming down from heaven. We've been talking about angels extensively, haven't we? We've been looking at all of these different passages here, in seeing what angels will do and how they have been working in the book of Revelation. My goodness, they're all over the place. You'll see the messengers of the Lord, Matthew chapter 18 and verse 10. The scripture tells us that we can see angels always looking at the face of the Father who is in heaven, ready to do his bidding, Matthew 18, 10. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14 tells us that they're ministering spirits, they're servant spirits, sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation. And they will witness believers getting rewards, Matthew chapter 16, verse 27. So they're observing. We can't even begin to count the number in heaven. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 says that. We know that they have different types of, what would you say, ministries? services, jobs, if you want to use that term, during the gospel passage of the Nativity story, Luke chapter 1, Zechariah is met by an angel with an announcement. Mary is met by this announcing angel, Gabriel, Luke chapter 1. And we see that Elisha, 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 16 and 17, Elisha and his, well, probably what you would say is sort of like the little ministry, sort of a seminary of these young preachers. They're protected against the marauding army by the gladiator type of angels protecting him. You can read a fascinating story about that. And then you're going to see the seraphim, the worshiping seraphim in Isaiah chapter 6, circling the throne. Boy, and if you want to get a fantastical description of angels, go to Ezekiel chapter 1. So we see them all over here. And as we take a look, we're looking here and we're seeing what these angels are doing in the service of the Lord here. We're seeing one specific angel. When we take a look at this, we see this is an angel coming down from God's headquarters, God's home, the angel coming down from heaven, mighty angel. We keep seeing a number of times angels will come down from his very throne. We've seen him come from the throne of God to talk with Daniel in Daniel chapter 9. We see him coming down from the throne to talk with Mary in Luke 1. We see that the angel came down from heaven in the book of Revelation. Do you remember this? He had one foot in the sea and one foot in the land, and he talked about, you can read it in Revelation chapter 10, God is now taking over. The delay is no longer. And then we see in Revelation chapter 17, then you go to Revelation chapter 18, and the angel is clearly making the announcement that Babylon, the world system of self-reliance and pushing God away, the rebellion against God, is done. All right? So now you see him coming down here, and he is going to make another declaration here of authority from the Lord. Now, he's not going to speak it. He's going to do it. All right? And so when we see this, this is going to be the key. I saw an angel coming down from heaven having a key to the bottomless pit. Now, when you go back, we saw this in Revelation chapter 9, the abyss, or the Greek word abusos. And he does this back then to let some out. He is now opening up this abyss to put one in. If you remember way back, the angel in Revelation chapter 9, when this was unlocked, if you want to put it that way, the abyss, demonic beings like locusts all came out. Do you remember this? This is during the trumpet judgments. This would be the fifth judgment. Now, what happens here is you're going to now incarcerate the demonic realm as by its leader, this one. So this is going to be the bottomless pit, the abyss in here. And so he's put down here, and when we see this down here, this is going to signify you have the highest of heights in heaven, you have the lowest of depths in the earth. The heights, you can't begin to describe. Where's the limit of the heights of God? Where is the limit of the depths of the incarceration to those that would go against him, especially this one, signifying all rebellion? Well, you can't even measure that too. This angel has a great chain in his hand. Now, when you talk about this, this is stating that this is going to be the one who is going to have the authority to actually have Satan taken away, taken down here. Think about this. We go back to Jude, and in the sixth, there's only one chapter in Jude, in the sixth verse. Do you remember this? The angels did not keep their proper domain. The rebellious ones left their own above. He, God, has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. It's using that term of chains. If you go over to 2 Peter chapter 2, you'll also see this. God did not spare the angels who sinned, cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness. You're seeing this. They are going to be held with something so much stronger. I remember seeing a number of videos. I think we were just kind of studying some nautical subject of some kind. And then it took me over to where they showed some of these mega ships, these destroyers, these huge military ships, and whenever they would drop anchor. Each link of that chain was absolutely monstrous. Each link easily was bigger than a watermelon. It was just absolutely huge. And when they would actually release the anchor to fall down, the movement of those chains through there was terrifying. It's moving so fast. But even those chains are nothing compared to the power of the rebellious one, of Satan. And so we're not talking about a physical chain here, too. They are being held that God himself, the best way we could see this is that God is using an illustration which we can grasp. They are chained. And indeed, if you or I were chained down by every means possible, yeah, that would restrain us. And so it's saying this. This is something beyond the escape of the rebellious one. When we take a look at this, he is taken down, he is bound in here, and when we see this down here, it is telling us he is not going to be in any way influential over anyone. Now, this is going to bring up a big point, which we'll talk about later on. If he's bound, then the millennial kingdom will have no sin. Oh, yes, indeed it will. We'll talk about that. But just because Satan is not present does not mean man has the tendency to, the man will automatically be holy. Everything. We read in 1 John, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh. Does it say anything about Satan? No, it's talking about the individual and their fall. So we'll talk about that. Verse 2, this angel, which we don't have a name for, lays hold, all right? And that's saying apprehended. That's the term used here. Apprehended, and he is taken down here. He takes hold of the dragon. And of course, if you remember this, this is a term used for Satan all the way through. You're going to see this. Revelation chapter 12 very clearly states that this is the one who is Satan, all right? That serpent of old. Go way back, Genesis chapter 3. You're seeing the serpent there, okay? And in this, deception was used then. We see this in the four horses that open up in Revelation chapter 6, whenever the seals are first broken open. We see that one of the weapons of the great deceiver is that one of lying, taking peace from the world through deception. And so when we see this, this one is cast out. He is the serpent, the deceiver. Think back to Genesis chapter 3. Oh, he can be one that can devour. He can be one that can intimidate. But there's also something about deception too. And when we see this, Revelation 19, the cohorts of the anti-trinity, the beast, which would be the antichrist, the false prophet, they're already in this lake of fire. Now, in that, we see that he is now soloed out, and he is singled out for this humiliation, for this incarceration. There is nothing here that is prideful on his part. He is bound. There's nothing prideful about being bound here. And when we see this, understand this, that this is going to take. I want you to think back. When we went back and we had talked about this earlier about Christ in the demoniac, over in the Gadarenes, the under human binding, the demonic realm was too strong to be bound by chains. Mark chapter 5 will tell you that. But here, under God's incarceration, there is nothing that the deceiver can do, nothing that the dragon, that Satan can do. And when we see this, he is being bound here to be held. I'm thinking way back when we look at this, and we were reminded again and again, just when we start getting so despairing, can we ever win? Can we ever win? And you're reading the victory right here, but go way back to Genesis chapter 3, which I just shared with you. What did it say after the fall? God himself said, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, the very first prophecy in the scriptures, as we read it in our Bible, and I will put enmity between you, the serpent, and the woman, between your seed and her seed, which we would know would be Christ. He shall bruise your head. That's going to be fatal. You shall bruise his heel. All right? So now it's happening. He is bound for this time. Now, what's going to happen is we're going to see the ultimate victory here. We're going to see him. Look at that. I've gone so far, and I've hardly even got through all the verses here. But what we want to show here in this passage as we're looking through this first part in Revelation chapter 20 is prior to the celebration is the showing of the cell. This one is being incarcerated so that we might have encouragement now and the celebration then. We're going to see this is the first part of God saying, do you really think you're going to win this? Do you really? But as Satan even right now knows as I'm talking, and he can read the scriptures, he's a self-deceiver. John 8:44 says he's the father of lies, and he can actually lie to himself too. So he is under the deceptive belief that he can win. What we're seeing here is we believe the Bible and we read the Bible that he is going to fall and he's going to fail, and miserably this will happen. There's more I want to say, but I've got to hold to the time here. I'm going to get running here. Hey, thank you so much. Once again, if you'd like to know more about our ministry, go to our website, theheaventour.com. Take a look at the calendar. And if you'd like to help us out, you want to partner with us, receive our newsletter, or help in any way, boy, that sure would be appreciated so very, very much. God bless you. I really appreciate you. This is Brad here in the Barnes Studio in Upcountry, South Carolina. We'll talk a bit more about Revelation in our next podcast. God bless you. Take care. And Lord willing, we'll talk soon.
Thank you for listening to Questions About Heaven with Brad Zockel. The Heaven Tour Ministry is traveling across the country and speaking on the Bible truths about our eternal home with God. You can find out more about our ministry by visiting our website at www.theheaventour.com. If you'd like to partner with us, receive our newsletter, or donate to our ministry, please go to our website at theheaventour.com. Look for the Heaven Tour Ministry on Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. Thank you, and God bless you greatly.